A media group here in Wisconsin is taking a close look at mental health challenges facing kids here in the state. The 10 newspapers that make up the USA Today Network Wisconsin have begun a five-month-long series on the topic, which will include town hall meetings around the state.
Wisconsin's youth suicide rate is higher than the national average, and the state ranks high for kids with depression as well. During the series, they'll be laying out that problem and looking at possible solutions.
Here with us now are Rory Linane, reporter at the USA Today Network Wisconsin. Rory, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Also with us, Jim Fitzhenry, editor of the USA Today Network's Wisconsin Kids in Crisis series. Jim, thanks to you as well.
Well, thanks for having us on.
Well, Rory, start us off. Paint us a picture of the mental health challenges facing kids here in Wisconsin.
Sure. Well, there are quite a few challenges facing kids in Wisconsin. One of the biggest issues is that kids are afraid to just talk about it from the beginning, and we're finding that a lot of parents are also afraid to just bring it up because there continues to be just so much stigma and shame surrounding the topic. So one of our goals with the series is just to get people more comfortable talking about these things. Once people overcome that hurdle, then there's the problem of trying to find help. And we found that there are really severe shortages of psychiatrists and other mental health professionals all throughout the state.
And, Jim, how does Wisconsin compare to other states? A lot of the numbers you mentioned, it looks like things are worse in Wisconsin in a number of ways.
Well, one of the things that we did early on was just take a look at the teen suicide rate. And if you look at some of the statistics that we were able to gather, it was significantly higher than other states. And really it was the topic of teen suicide that prompted us to begin looking at children's mental health, because in all the communities that we cover, it seems like we were consistently doing more reporting and hearing more really tragic stories about teen suicide. And that was the hook that really got us to dive into the subject of children's mental health.
Now, Rory, in your reporting, you talked to families who have been affected by this issue, and talking about that difficulty of accessing mental health care. What were you hearing from parents in particular?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, parents are just so frustrated because, when they're out there looking for psychiatrists or counselors, they can end up on waiting lists for weeks or months, and I've even heard up to years. And so it can be especially hard when insurance carriers only allow certain providers, and then, sometimes they'll have to travel hours across the state in order to access care.
Now, in this series, you're not just describing a problem. You're looking at possible solutions. Are people talking about what Wisconsin would need to do, Rory, to get more providers available, especially in, say, rural areas where they might be few and far between?
Yeah, I think there are a lot of people looking at things we can do to improve the situation in Wisconsin. There is a shortage, but another part of the problem is that a lot of the professionals are concentrated in urban areas. And so there are some different initiatives like telepsychiatry, which allows psychiatrists based in, say, Milwaukee or Madison to meet with patients in rural Wisconsin via video conferencing. So there are different strategies like that that people are trying to make things better.
And Jim, mentioning that it's solution-oriented, we mentioned a few moments ago, you're looking to have town hall meetings on this. So this is going beyond, in some ways, traditional reporting. What are you hoping to accomplish, make happen next month when you start having these town hall meetings?
Really to take the discussions to a higher level, to bring communities together and give them an opportunity to talk about the issue, to share experiences, and to do some brainstorming, and to bring people together who may not traditionally be in the same room, whether that's advocates, healthcare providers, community leaders, educators, and get them talking about this. And we keep coming back to the issue of stigma, is that it really is hard for people to talk about this. So we really wanted to take a lead in bringing communities together. And the feedback and reaction we've had on that has been overwhelmingly positive, where people are looking forward to coming into a structured environment and be able to talk about issues. And we're really excited to see what's going to come of that, because we know when we bring communities together and have discussions that really great things can happen.
And Jim, if somebody out there is listening and is saying, yeah, that's me, I am a provider, or my family has experienced this, how could they get involved in one of these town hall discussions?
They just have to look for where the location would be in their community and show up. And we're going to be having a couple parts of the town halls. One part will be having some of the experts in the community talk a little bit briefly about what their experience is and what they're doing to address some of the problems. We are going to have part of it where audience members can submit questions that we'll be posing to the panel. So we really want to have a dialogue and a discussion and hear from people and have them share their experiences and come through the town halls and share ideas, because that can be very powerful.
We're talking about children's mental health care in Wisconsin with Rory Linane and Jim Fitzhenry. They're both with the USA Today Network Wisconsin, and they're involved in the Kids in Crisis series, two of the people involved in this big series on children's mental health issues in the state. Rory, to bring this to life, can you share us the story of maybe one of the families you worked with as you were reporting?
Sure, yeah, there are so many. There was... you know, there's one family, Nicole Weigel, who, you know, she has a few kids who have had mental health issues. And, you know, she just had no experience with this and didn't really know, you know, where to turn when her kids started struggling. And there was one night she told me about where, you know, her kid was becoming violent and was just so frustrated. And, you know, she was scared for the safety of herself and for her kids. And she ended up, you know, having him, you know, lying down on a bed, and she was straddling him and pinning him down, just so desperate to help him. And she was calling around, and there weren't any help available for her. And you know, flash forward to now, she's a parent peer specialist with Wisconsin Family Ties, which is an organization in Wisconsin that provides peer support for families navigating mental health. And now she helps other parents who are kind of in the same boat that she was at that night.
For parents who aren't finding that kind of peer support, Rory, I imagine they must feel really alone, that this is something unique, that is something that's haunting their family. There's no, probably since people don't talk about it, as you say, they don't have a peer group to work with a lot of the time.
Yeah, that's so true. I've heard that from a lot of parents, just how alone they felt when they started going through this and felt like they didn't have anyone to talk about it with. It's so hard to talk about.
And Jim, this is being worked on by reporters around the state. This is not something that's specific to just one community in Wisconsin, is it?
No, the thing that we found out when we did some of our initial reporting is that the patterns of what was happening in communities was so strikingly similar that reporters in different communities, whether it be Wausau or Appleton or Green Bay or Sheboygan, that the same type of issues were being experienced, the same type of problems. And so that really set forth our desire to do something on a statewide level, because the problems are both micro level in communities, but they're statewide issues with access to care, with things happening in schools that really made it truly something to look at on a larger scale.
And Jim, you're seeing these stories filter in from around the state, as you said. Do you get the sense that, you know, we're at some kind of turning point where people are starting to want to talk about these issues and try to figure out how people can be helped?
The thing that's been remarkable about it is when Rory is sharing stories about the families, is just how incredibly gracious, honest, and brave they've been about sharing their stories about really what is some of the worst moments in their lives, and doing that in the hopes that other people don't have to suffer, and really wanting to make a difference. The family that we featured in the kickoff of the series had lost their son to suicide last spring, and their mantra was, not another suicide. So you really do get a strong sense that people are breaking down some of those barriers, and that there is really positive work being done across the state by a lot of groups to make a difference.
We're talking to reporter Rory Linane and editor Jim Fitzhenry of the USA Today Network, Wisconsin. They're in the midst of a five-month series looking at children's mental health challenges in the state.
And we'd like to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you have experience with children's mental health issues? And whether it's yourself, your children, or someone you know, you can call in and share your experience. Was it hard to find the help that you needed? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're talking to reporter Rory Linane and editor Jim Fitzhenry of the USA Today Network, Wisconsin. As we listen to Central Time, we're talking about children's mental health issues here in the state.
And we'd like to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What is your experience with children's mental health challenges, and how do schools, doctors, and families deal with them? And what do you think could be done better? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
So, Rory, share some more of the stories you encountered as you were out reporting. You kept an ongoing, in addition to your actual reports, you kept a diary, just kind of summing up what you were going, how you were seeing things. What kind of things did you see?
Yeah, let's see. There's a lot of parents talked about, you know, the reactions in schools to their kids, and how, you know, sometimes kids with mental health issues are met with discipline or even with police involvement, you know, when their mental health needs are unmet. So as an example of that, there was one student who, you know, she had been cutting in school, and when the counselor wasn't there for her to talk to, the school just called police. They didn't know what else to do. And, you know, moments like that can be really shameful for kids and, you know, just give them the message that, you know, they're deficient and, you know, rather than providing them the support that they need. So, yeah, that's just kind of one example of many where families feel kind of misunderstood at times.
And, Jim, talk more about the role of schools here, for better or worse, having services, not having services available to help. What kind of things were you seeing?
The primary thing was that as school systems had to tighten budgets, that quite often people who were providing services for mental health, school psychologists, were positions that are being cut that was making it more difficult for schools to help students who were having issues. So it's one of those very complicated things of, you know, there's overall a shortage in psychiatric care for children, and then you put a second layer of that of having those type of professionals work in schools where the pay wasn't as good, and there's shortages nationally where getting services for kids in schools is more difficult.
And that might be the only available provider that somebody might encounter, right, would be in the schools if they're in an area with very little access.
Correct. And usually school is one of the places where kids are going to come into contact with systems to give them help. So if their parents aren't doing something or haven't picked up on something, it's going to be something that's picked up in classrooms. And that's one of the ways that kids get access to services where they get identified as having issues, where they can get support and help, and the ability of schools to react to that has been lessened by not having as many of those professionals on staff.
We'll go to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Shea is with us now in Madison. Shea, hi.
Hi. I wanted to share that I kind of have seen both sides. I'm a parent, and I had a son who had a post-concussive syndrome and got really externalized behaviors, and he was tearing up the school. I was getting called. He was being suspended. He was getting restrained and secluded. And then on the other side, I'm also a school social worker, so I see what it's like to be on that side of things and the need that we have for students, challenges kids run into, especially if they're receiving badger care or straight MA. It's really hard to get some mental health that's needed. But I also see a lot of good things going on in Madison that we have for students for mental health needs, like the Building Bridges program, FACE kids through Dane County is very helpful.
Shea, thanks a lot for that call. So again, some positive signs she sees, but difficulties getting access to that care. And she mentioned, kids maybe on Badger Care not having that. So even if access is available, Rory, people might not be able to afford it or afford to get their kid to it on a regular basis.
Yeah, that's definitely something I've heard. There was a survey done of primary care pediatricians, and one of the most surprising results from that was that even when pediatricians are seeking out psychiatrists to send their patients to, most of the time they can't find someone who has an opening, and it's even worse, much worse for kids that are on Medicaid.
And Jim, the providers that are out there, I read in some of the reporting, stretched really thin. They're working long hours trying to keep up with a large caseload because there's only so much of them to go around.
Yeah, we had one doctor that we talked to who hadn't gone on vacation without having his computer and ability to make contact with his office and patients. And so, you get to see on the positive side of it the dedication to patients and helping people. On the other side of it, you see where the access to the services is creating a gap and creating difficulties.
Go back to our callers now. Eric is with us in Kewaunee. Eric, hi.
Hi. If your child doesn't fit in a perfect box, these school systems, it's like they want to put them on drugs. And my concern is these drugs are addictive, and I'm afraid of the long term, what's going to happen.
Eric, thanks for the call. Is that something you encountered, Rory, a concern that either kids are too quick to be medicated or that schools are quick to recommend that?
I haven't heard a lot about that. One thing I have heard is that kids on Medicaid are more likely to be subscribed psychotropic medication than other kids, and that's something we're going to be looking into in the future with this series. So I guess stay tuned on that, but that's not a huge thing I've heard a lot about.
We're talking about new reporting from the USA Today Network, Wisconsin. We have reporter Rory Linane with us, editor Jim FitzHenry, a five-month series covering children's mental health challenges here in the state. Back to your calls now. Todd is with us in Sturgeon Bay. Todd, hi.
Hi, good afternoon. One of the things that my wife is a kindergarten teacher of 25 years, and she has noticed a lot of, she's been able to identify a lot of these behaviors. Very quickly, she's never missed a diagnosis. In other words, she calls this to someone's attention, and ultimately they get the help that they need, and they confirm what she believed it was. It was either a mental disorder or a learning disability or autism even. She's spotted all kinds of different things. The biggest problem that she sees right now is that with the 4K teachers, they're all young teachers. They're hired right out of school, it seems, and they don't have any kind of expertise or any kind of background to draw on that would help them identify these types of behaviors in kids. And so what happens is that the help that these kids need is often delayed because the teacher is really not equipped to identify it. And I think it's a big problem. It's a real problem with the educational programs, the teacher certification programs and things around the state.
All right, Todd, I get what you're going with it. I want to bring in our guests in on this. Rory, on the one hand, teachers, I could see being a valuable early warning system, first line of detection. On the other hand, teachers have a lot to do. They have to teach. Is it realistic from what you've seen to expect them to be, diagnosticians, in effect, as our caller was saying, his wife was capable of doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's really impressive to hear about his wife and everything she's been able to do. I've heard, a lot of mixed things about teachers and what they've been capable of doing. In some cases, people will credit teachers with being the first people to notice that, something that their kid needed more help and, helping them find that support. And on the other hand, there are other teachers that, parents feel have really, failed to notice those signs in their kids and give them the attention that they needed. So, a lot of districts have They send their teachers to mental health first aid training, which can help teachers recognize some of those warning signs. And there's also trainings for, doing certain behavioral interventions that teachers can do within the classroom without needing to send students to special professionals for that. But that really varies district by district and depends a lot on individual administrators and how much they're really willing to invest in that kind of training.
That reminds me, another issue that's come up with the first line of defense on mental illness is first responders, police officers in particular. Milwaukee working to be the first major city, I think, to give mental health training to all of their officers. Jim, is this something that is or will be part of your reporting on this, on the role of police?
Yeah. One interesting fact that we found that only 16% of Wisconsin police departments have initiated training in crisis intervention teams that have specialized training and background in mental health issues. And one of the stories that we shared in the first part of the series in January was talking to families with children with mental problems and how police departments that had the training were able to deal much differently with kids who were having a situation versus ones who did not. And again, when you start looking at what police departments are able to do, there are some departments who simply said they don't have the time or the resources to invest in the training, and only 16% of them statewide have done that. And that can make a very big difference in the outcome of situations with children as well as adults.
Rory, I want to look ahead a bit. A lot of your reporting already available on this on Gannett newspaper websites around the state. What are you working on now? What's the next step for you as you cover this issue?
So the first part of our series was all about digging into the scope of the problem, and the next part, which will be coming out throughout February, is all about looking at solutions. So, I mentioned before telepsychiatry. That's, one of a few different initiatives that we're looking at that have been tried in Wisconsin, and we're also looking at things that have been tried in other states that, might benefit Wisconsin. And we're calling on a variety of experts to submit wish lists of, what they would like to see tried here. So people can stay tuned to that, and we're hoping that more ideas will be generated through our town halls.
Well, I hope we can talk to you some more about this. Rory, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
And Jim, thanks to you as well.
Thank you for having us on.
We've been talking to reporter Rory Linane and editor Jim Fitzhenry. They're with the USA Today Network Wisconsin. They're in the midst of a five-month series on children's mental health challenges in the state. You can follow that series from a link at the Central Time Facebook page.